7.9.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a Cuban party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop it. Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
And Jarmin Leitner. Good morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am your co-host, Jarmin Leitner of First Thursday Jacksonville and Harvest Intervention Services, in the studio with Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League. And joining us on the line is Larry Williams of First Thursday World Charities and Anchor Global Business. So good morning, Larry. Good morning, Dr. Danforth.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Danforth. How are you?
I'm great.
Wake him up over there.
He didn't bring his coffee.
Morning.
No donuts or coffee this morning.
No, so. No. Wait. Let's start off on a good foot. Let me just say, I want to give shout outs to the Lord for being on my side.
Yes.
You know what a wonderful God we serve.
Yes.
And thanks for all the blessings and the opportunity to serve the community. And this week we had an opportunity to share with the community our hopes for helping to improve that community over on King's Road. And so we had a good week, and certainly it's not because of me, it's because of the one we serve. So yeah. Good morning, Jacksonville.
How can you top that? Great words, Doc. I hope everything turned out well for you guys over there at your, revisioning, I guess that's what you're calling it, over on King's Road. That sounds like a great opportunity for folks to get involved and share in some of the good things, positive things that are happening in Jacksonville. And, I wanted to echo that wasn't for the Lord on my side, where would I be? It's a great day. It's another opportunity for us to try and get it right and move forward in our spiritual relationship with God. So, amen.
Amen to that. Well, this is the Empowerment Hour, and Christ is the greatest empowerment.
And we have a guest. Don't forget our guest.
Yes, we do have a guest speaker that we're going to bring in our second segment, Dr. Hodo.
She's not new. She's not new to
the returning guest.
The returning expert. Huh? And sociologist.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we got some good stuff coming up.
Yes. All right. So, Larry, we'll talk about a little bit on the positive side of things that are going on in Duval County Public Schools. We see that the superintendent, Diana Green, won't recommend a contract for a proposed new charter school until they provide a more realistic diversity plan that won't segregate students. So we definitely don't want schools to continue to be segregated, right?
We certainly right. don't, well, but
we want equal opportunity for all ethnicities to learn.
Well, I'm happy to see that the superintendent has taken that stance, and it's too often that we bring in these contractors and so forth to help with our schools that are basically Title I schools and serving low income and poor students, and that basically is our urban communities and the schools that are underperforming. But, we need to start placing in these schools people that look like the students they serve.
Exactly.
And diversity is the one way that we can accomplish that. You know, too often our kids are kicked out of school because they don't, the teachers don't understand them. They don't understand the culture that they come from. So consequently, when they do act up in school, are they considered the acting up? It's really not. It's just the way that, that their culture has created them. And, you know, if you don't have folks in those schools that look like and understand these students, it's a recipe for failure. And that's why a lot of these schools are failing. So kudos to Dr. Green for understanding and making that a fact in that contract.
Yeah, Larry, you know, we've got to also be realistic. I mean, you know, we're America is becoming a little more segregated as we speak. I mean, when you think about the mood of the country and how we deal with diversity, we're in some trying times because the leadership is at the top, and I think that the messages we're receiving, you know, prompts all, you know, people around America, you know, to act out in an unprofessional manner, particularly as it relates to race. So, so we're looking forward to Tammy and some of the comments that you're going to make later in the program. Yes,
and that's all the more reason that we have to on this program be 100% real about what's going on. You know, we have so much fake news and information being shared out there in the media that you know, this is a place where folks can come and get a true understanding and message about what's really going on in our community, and you know, with an understanding that you know, these messages on the national level that are being played out aren't really a clear view of what's going on in our communities.
Okay, well, yeah, so, well, we were talking about the Duval County Public Schools and just and thinking about all students and children across the state. There is an article that was put out about this MOMO challenge, which is a very sick challenge that's happening to some of the children who are online looking at videos, video games, messaging apps, and this particular disturbing image would come up and is prompting young children to either harm their parents or themselves. So as parents, you know, we have to be vigilant at knowing what's going on with what our children are watching and that content that they're seeing and hearing, because it could influence them to do some bad things.
Yeah, we cannot allow our kids to use video games. We can't babysit our children with video games, and I tell you, our children are becoming addicted to this technology, and you know, where are we headed?
Well, I think that you know, you're right on one point, Doc. But we can't keep our kids away from technology either.
We certainly can.
We have to you know,
allow we have to embrace them to
embrace
it. Certainly
it properly, and at the same time, you know, there are ways and parental locks and so forth on the video games on your computers and cell phones, where you can control what your kids see, view, and whatever. But don't be misled and misguided. If kids want to find something, they're going to find it. You know, they are the most resourceful people in the world at things that they want to see and have happen. And so we have to be vigilant and diligent about what we do as we deal with our children and the new technology that's available. We don't want to defer them from it, because that's where the world is going. We need to make sure that they embrace it the proper way. And what is proper to me might not be proper or correct for them and their families. But at the same time, there is some great opportunities in the world, in the workforce that are staring them down, you know, as they mature and go through school, get in some STEM classes.
Yes,
learn
absolutely.
How to do those things that you need to do, you know, working with that technology and use it to better your life, your family life, and your career. There's some excellent opportunities out there and some great STEM programs that we've talked about many times on this show over the past few years, Doc. And before we go to a break, Doc, we're coming up on our next anniversary on the Empowerment Hour.
What? Come on, slow down. God. Yeah, but Larry, you're absolutely correct on technology. And listen, let me just send a shout out to the robotics team over at Bethel Baptist Institution of Church. They're doing very well through their BEST Academy, and so great work, guys. That's how we work with our young people.
Right, and I know at my son's school, my son and daughter's school, they do robotics. They have a technology class throughout the week, and he's in third grade learning how to do a presentation, a Google presentation. They're taking them through the steps and the research and all of that. And that's wonderful at third grade, you know?
Third grade.
And preparing them now because they're going to have to know how to use the computer, type, do their own presentation.
So he can read well?
Very well. He's at least three grades above his level. He's third grade reading on a sixth grade level. Yes.
Well, he got that from his mother from Alabama. That Birmingham girl.
Mother who spent time with him, okay? He didn't come, it didn't just happen. Mama spent time reading, talking with him, you know, making sure he had words that were clear enough for us to understand when he was talking. So it began with a solid foundation, and it starts very young.
Well, kudos to you for that. But, you know, we need to have all of our parents working with their children and instilling in them at an early age, you know, about education and the value of it and challenging them in school. You know, we can't just have our kids settle for passing. You know, if you can do A work, do A work. Everybody can't do A work, but if you can, do the best you can. That's all we can ask that you do. But our parents, please spend some time, you know, working with your kids, helping them with their homework. If you can't help them, get them a mentor or someone who can. There's enough
enough resources
and
yes.
mentor programs
yes.
that are available free of charge
yes.
for you to get make sure that your kids have a great foundation, you know, as they head into the world.
Yes, and I was just at the main library. They have a new section called the Jack's Maker Space. I mean, you can go and take a free sewing class. You can take free music classes. You know, there are a lot of opportunities out here that are at no cost for children to participate in and for adults in order to learn to be able to help and support their children. So you just have to go out there and seek it because those free resources are available to us as in the community.
So so when we come back,
we're going to speak with Dr. Hodo.
All right.
We're going to talk about
take a music break.
We are going to take a music break.
Is this one of your selections?
Yes, you know, I select from the music.
This just for you, Larry.
No, not the, well, the I next know, song I, might you might have to say, oh, on. Okay, so. Well, this is
all
so.
All the listeners out there, 296-2251, if you want to call in. I know Jarman was getting ready to say that because I read her mind.
Well, this is So Good by Joshua Rogers because God is so good. We'll be back.
Amen to that.
There's no need to lie. Don't you know my right from wrongs? Don't understand why you love me. And sometimes I go left when you say right. Did you decide to protect me? And I can't thank you enough for my life. And when I think about it, don't you been so sometimes you try to do things on your own. To your surprise, he's still with you. Don't you deny his grace and mercy shown. He can provide.
everything that you'll ever need. When I think about it, aren't you been so good to me? Oh, I don't deserve it, not just you. So good, oh Lord. The way you love me is so perfect, makes me feel so good. Oh Lord, yeah. You've been so good every day, every hour, Lord.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.8.
So good.
He's so good. Oh, amen. God, he's so
thank
good.
You for
I just
that.
Love
thank
the Lord.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
As long as Dot doesn't sing it, we don't
sing. Well, we are back on this wonderful Saturday morning, and we have a guest in the studio, Dr. Hodo, because we're going to be talking about some things that are going on nationally that just continues to show us how much hatred and racism is running rampant in this world. And we just want to start off by talking about Cohen. Who is Cohen again?
He was the fixer for Trump. He was an attorney. He was Trump's personal attorney and a fixer.
So he's made some comments that have come out against Trump recently. And Dr. Hodo, what did Cohen say?
Basically, he came out and he said that he was a racist and that he was a con and a fraud and all these other things. But was problematic, though, was when Representative Mark Meadows, who is a Republican from North Carolina, decided that he wanted to call up an African-American female who works for HUD, who I guess had campaigned for Trump before,
mm-hmm.
and use her as a prop to show that Trump couldn't be racist because she worked for him and her parents were from Birmingham and she would never work. That was the comment he made. Her
John,
dad, yes.
I'm from Birmingham.
Gentlemen, you know this?
No.
Yeah, so Lynn Patton, I guess apparently she, as per my understanding, had canvassed and campaigned for Trump, and now she has a position in HUD, which is ironic to me because I think of Ben Carson being in charge of HUD as a neurosurgeon. But my understanding is that comments were made that because he grew up in the projects, he should be familiar with housing issues, even though he's gone on and
even
done
though
it.
He's a neurosurgeon,
right,
so
right.
We're going to put him with housing because he's familiar with.
Well,
yeah,
well, right.
We hope that we don't have people that being chosen to lead our community and our students in schools and so forth based on where they were raised.
Ooh,
no, that wouldn't.
If that were the case, Larry, you, us Georgia boys,
we'd be out there leading the cotton field.
Oh well, speaking of cotton. You had Dr. Hodo, you mentioned off the air there's another racist incident recently involving cotton.
Right. So at Madison Trust Elementary School in Northern Virginia, apparently one of the PE teachers wanted to play a runaway slave game with the students. And so, of course, that was reported. And I did reach out to the school you know, and offer to come and to provide them some assistance and inclusivity and diversity training, uh-huh. And implicit bias and all that. And I did get a response that they're going to work it out. But yeah, apparently Madison Trust Elementary School had a runaway slave game.
And the governor's wife.
Oh, in Virginia. Okay, so in Virginia. So, I mean, this is all over. So, apparently in Richmond, Virginia, the governor's wife likes to give out props of cotton.
When you're talking about cotton candy?
No, cotton from the field, you know, that our ancestors used to pick. That kind of cotton.
Not just our ancestors. We did it, too.
not me. Not, maybe Larry and Doc did, but...
We're too young. But yeah. So the governor's wife, you know, as students come and tour the governor's mansion, was giving out some cotton as props and told some African American students basically could you envision being enslaved? Mind you, this was even during Black History Month. I mean, I just don't know the amount of. Foolery that I can continue to handle that's going on in the States. And then we had a case recently in our neck of the woods yesterday or this week where we had a student in Amelia Island be told by a substitute teacher that he could be deported. He's a Hispanic student, and apparently she told him that she was upset because he didn't speak good English and that he should be deported. And that Trump would put him in some type of camp for illegal kids.
Well, you know, Amelia Island is it's called Amelia Island Plantation.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Amelia Island Plantation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So this teacher, yeah, that's what she decided to tell the child. So there are a lot of issues that are coming to the forefront. I think people are just feel real emboldened right now.
Right. Well, you know, as a parent, again, I'm just go back to. Parenting. I know we send our, you know, children to schools and jobs, and we have to be aware that sometimes they're hearing some of these negative things, and they need a positive outlet. You know, we've started counseling adolescents now. That's what Harvest Interventions has expanded. So we're counseling adolescents as well as doing psychological testing. And these adolescents and tweens, they're hurting. They're confused. They're not understanding, you know, what's going on. Sometimes even in the schools, some of the things that the teachers are saying and doing, not all teachers are bad, but sure. But they are coming in contact with some teachers that are causing some challenges. And Larry, you mentioned some of these behaviors, you know, they're not being able to relate to them, or they're not being able to have the curriculum modified to where it's going to be able for them to learn it, you know. And so have to just be positive and give those children an outlet to be able to talk and feel safe to say, you know, what's going on. Because I couldn't imagine sending my kid to school and he coming home telling me that a teacher has said that to him. Okay, now this child has to go back into that same classroom the next day. And sometimes we just say, oh, well, go ahead. You know, but that has affected that child, and they need an opportunity to deal with that. So
I think sorry, Larry.
Go ahead, Doc.
I think that schools need to be realistic, just like police officers and a variety of other institutions in America. And they need to get some training. You know, they want to believe that people are culturally competent. That is not necessarily the case. Everyone has implicit biases. We do hear the microaggressions. I remember going to grad school, and my first day on the job, I was a graduate assistant. I'd been hired from my second level supervisor, which I didn't know. And when the first day I met my first level supervisor, coming from undergrad to a PWI, coming from a HBCU, and he proceeded to tell me how he hoped that I could be successful at the PWI, because you know at those HBCUs they don't teach you anything. So yeah. I mean, and just the mere thought that he thought that was okay to say,
right?
Yeah. And as we've mentioned. All show is that people are really being emboldened, and it starts at the top, as Doc pointed out, with 46-1, mm-hmm. You know, leading the way with this regression to segregation, and you know, I don't know about y'all, but they ain't taking me back there.
I don't think so.
Well, and then Dr. Hodo, you mentioned, you know, in addition to teachers, you know, just people in leadership and authority, even police officers. There's an incident in the Fort Pierce Police Department where the
Fort
police.
Fort Pierce, that's down where we have the massage parlors.
Oh, is that by Jupiter?
No, it's going. I know where it is. I know where. Hey,
it's from Florida.
Right. I passed down in Jupiter. I passed by that massage parlor before. I have. Okay. No, I'm serious.
The one in Jupiter?
Yes. Yes, I have friends. Okay. I have friends down there.
Okay,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, so do I. Well, my dad lives in Jupiter. I think I might need to go visit him.
Well, maybe you'll see this police officer that's on suspension for 20 days for allowing a man and a woman to smoke in the back of the police car and
smoke
make
what?
Out. They didn't identify what they were smoking, but it's just a matter of he breaking, the rules, just allowing these things to happen, these multiple policies that he violated, only received 20 days suspension.
But come on, say it. He watched them have sex in the back.
Yeah, that's
the,
what he did.
Right. Say it like, mm-hmm. tell it like it is. Come mm-hmm. on, man. Mm-hmm. Try to clean it
he
up.
He watched
you
it.
Know.
Well, this is 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock in the morning.
Where's Rick James? Freak.
But these things are happening, and we just have to be aware of that, and make sure that we are again. Being that outlet for our children as they deal with things, you know, teenagers are out, you know, some are driving, you know, and we don't know what they're going to encounter. So we have to just be aware of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can't babysit them all their lives, and we have to just prepare them for, you know, the best that we can to make the wise choices when they aren't in our around us. So it's a hard job being a parent.
Yes.
And it's even more difficult today with all the different things that are available to our children. And you know, but this just not children. As you can see, we have 77-year-old folks out there making unwise choices. And but they, if you're I think if you're wealthy enough, you can probably think you can get away with it. What do you think, Doc?
Well, it's hard to think when we have all of these young people being murdered here in Jacksonville. You know, what, this week they had a funeral, the little
16-year-old
over at Hilltop, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, we've got to make some changes over there. It's too, they need to remove some of the apartments over there. It's too confined and it's too condensed. get some lights on.
Yeah, but Doc, if they remove some of the apartments, where are those people going to live, though? I mean, you know, we got to be realistic. They're not living there because they have a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, that this is a choice that's being made for them, basically. And since they are living there, what we need to do is make sure that the mayor and the sheriff are doing their job and providing the policing over there where these folks can see the police riding around. They, you know, just like they see them over in these other affluent areas, they need to be visible in those low-income areas as well. And I think that visibility adds a lot to making sure that a lot of the crime disappears. I doubt if you're going to see anybody that's emboldened enough to except for rich people, to go and do something that's a criminal in front of the police.
Yeah, well, let me just say, I've been blessed to have the opportunity to go over to Cape Town, and I've seen the shanty towns, and I've witnessed how people are living. And I tell you, we need to consider ourselves blessed. In this in this country and mm-hmm. in this community, and I know we complain a lot, but we need to. Who was it? Booker T. Washington mm-hmm. said that we need to drop our buckets right now.
Mm-hmm. It was
okay?
Washington.
It was yep. Booker T. Hey, mm-hmm. let's drop our buckets and let's start doing something for ourselves, taking responsibility for our children.
Yes.
Stop expecting the sheriff and the mayor, you know, to save you. You're not, I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. That's not their job to save you. You've got to save yourself.
Yeah, it's not their job, but it's their responsibility. And for those who can't save themselves, that's why we pay them. I mean, they get paid big bucks over there in the sheriff's office and the 180 new police that they hired. So, our community has to take ownership in it, but it's also a part of the responsibility of the police, too. I don't want to hear that.
Well, we know on the Empowerment Hour who really saves, and that's Jesus. And on that note, we're going to take another music break and listen to Great Are You, Lord, because He is great, and we'll be back. Great.
It's your breath, God, so you can have it back.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
You're the only one I've ever needed. I make a mess and you're the one to clean it. Sometimes I lose it, sometimes I'm stupid. I drop the ball, repeat it. Can't believe I ain't cast out from the last bout. Don't know what that's about. You pulled my mask out. I had a fast drop down on my last count and threw it up. You still receive me, walk in my shoes. No orthopedics, all cause of you. I am still breathing and I am believing. I don't need to bloom to know it's my season. Hey, I give my last breath to you. Call me and I'm coming through. Show me to give me the cue. If I am with you, then I got the juice.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you. Only,
only you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord.
Nobody greater. Facts. Nobody greater, Alpha and Omega, healer of my past, you're my now and later, no denominator, blessing operator, you're my problem solver when it's complicated, you get all the glory, and only you can get the praise, man, Lord, you know my story, but you ain't even phased, now I'm under shame, no one was ever this true, no faking, I got the proof, I'm sticking to you like glue, Lord, there's no one greater than you,
it's your breath. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you, holy. Great are you, Lord.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture.
Whoa. It's your breath, yeah. In our lungs, yeah. So we pour out.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Leitner in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford, and joining us on the line is Larry Williams, and we have a special guest in the studio, Dr. Hodo, this morning. And we wanted to start off this segment talking a little bit about the elections that are coming up, Dr. Danford. We got early voting that starts March 4th.
Oh, is that Monday? What's the day? Today is the second, right?
Yes.
Okay, second, third,
yeah,
fourth.
Monday.
Okay, Monday.
Yes.
And well, that's so, that good old George arithmetic.
We so want to make certain we have the right dates. So starting Monday,
yes,
you can early vote. Do you have to go downtown to the Supervisor of Elections office, or can you go to the various polling places?
They have various polling places. You can look and see which ones will be open.
Okay.
Okay. And the...
I guess it's too late to register, right?
I think
yes.
So.
Registration
is over.
And, well, and there's still... there's still a
February 19th.
Okay. There's still no...
And this is a nonpartisan, which means that if you are a Democrat or a Republican, NPA, independent, you can vote for whoever, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, cross party lines. So you just go in and vote for whoever you want to go to the general election in August, I believe. And right now, as we're looking at you know, a lot of the information and you know, the plum position that's been out there is the mayor's race, and it's not much of a race right now. You know, Mayor Kerr is out polling, out fundraising, and everything as we near the March 19th election.
Yes, and that's the date, March 19th. After early voting, the voting date is March the 19th, and there's still just some questions about whether the ex-felons who were able to register, if they were actually approved by the Supervisor of Elections by this election date.
No,
to be able to vote.
They're not going to be able to vote. I mean, they're dragging it out up until Tallahassee. And you know,
and it's not like we didn't anticipate that. I mean, you know, I'm sure, and we talked about this on several of our shows in the past. And you know, they, as Doc said, they're dragging the feet. But not only are they dragging the feet, they're going to continue to drag their feet. They don't want those people that can and to exercise their right to vote, and especially in this election and this primary. So. Well, there we go again, good old Jacksonville.
Well, not only dragging their feet, they're pushing paper. Remember, I talked about pushers, users, and abusers. We don't want any more leaders who are just going to push paper and use the people and abuse the power. We need people that are going to be in leadership, that are going to actually represent the community and make a positive impact for everyone. And there are a couple of laws that are being proposed now in Florida.
Really?
That can make some changes, most definitely for the community. One is the Florida lawmakers have filed a bill to legalize recreational marijuana for adults over 21.
Oh, I thought they were already. I thought that was already legal.
No, they. It was medicinal first. So now this is recreational.
So how did? Well, okay. I'm very naive.
Are
okay.
You?
Yes.
Okay.
So tell me the difference between. Medical marijuana and Dr. Hodo. Oh,
yes.
Tell me the difference between medical marijuana and just the kind you
recreational.
The kind you that they grow and you pick up and come on, you know the difference.
Yeah, illegal marijuana.
Larry, no, I'm talking Dr. Hodo.
Well, I know the medicinal is supposed to be like for people with PTSD and who have seizures,
cancer,
and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, to help them eat because
muscle
then they
problems.
Take chemo. Right. But the recreational, I mean, we've seen that in other states when they pass that, the amount of revenue they're able to generate, like in Colorado and California, to add to the educational system is where a lot of the money goes to improve mm-hmm. the infrastructure on the roads.
And hire more police officers.
Is that actually seen, though? I mean, when that money is coming in, are those communities actually seeing that money go to the schools and the roads as they say that it is?
Oh, yeah, he's in a place.
Larry lives in a place where it's recreational. Yes.
I'm living in one of those states right now in mm-hmm. Washington.
He's in a teepee with the smoke coming out of it?
Mm-hmm.
No, there's not, but there's a pot store on every corner. So, you know, it's like you see 7-Eleven stores. That's how you see the cannabis stores here in the state of Washington. And they're contributing over $1 billion back into the economy. Mm-hmm. That's why the state of Florida is now moving from, and this is a trend. Okay, so they legalize the medical marijuana and get everybody comfortable with it.
Get everybody high on the medical first.
And then they do the recreational.
Then they do the recreational. It's a process that they've done in every state that's legalized marijuana, Colorado, California, Washington, and others. So, to answer your question, John, about whether that actually goes back into the education, no, it doesn't. It goes into the general fund for the legislature to do what they want to do and send those funds to, you know, the places that they can, you know, get their bacon taken care of with their constituent groups. And they use the schools and the education mantra as a way to get people to vote for it. That's the nuts and bolts of it. None of it really goes back into education per se.
Wow. Well, the article says that it's coming one way or another by 2020.
The money is too big.
Mm-hmm. So it's about the money, the revenue that can be made.
Well, Larry, should we talk about on the entrepreneurial corners? What about seeing this as a great business opportunity, a legal business opportunity? I mean, are we going to allow the people who already have a shop in the hood on every corner, you know, selling alcohol and cigarettes and vape and smoke and, you know, whatever, are they the ones that are going to benefit financially for having all of these shops? Or should we encourage entrepreneurs, folk who really want to go into business, to look at this as an opportunity? Because, it's coming. If it's coming, it's all about the money. Okay?
And there you go right there, Doc. It's a huge investment. Okay, there's only one African American owned grower in the state of Washington.
Grower, okay? What's that?
Grow the marijuana. Right, there's only one African American.
Grow the marijuana, and then you grow it. They have the growers, and they have a retail market. The retail market is controlled by the Liquor Control Board here, and so it's now the Liquor and Cannabis Control Board. So, you know, again, unless you already, you know, in this system and have huge bucks, because in order to get a license to sell cannabis, it's in the millions of dollars. So,
same here,
you know,
it costs millions of dollars to get the license. Mm-hmm. Just to,
but it's the same here in Florida. I mean, and it's problematic. And my problem with it is that I know there are 2 million men who are currently incarcerated. A million of them are there for not, you know, a million of them are men of color. 56% of those are men of color who are there for nonviolent drug offenses who are serving time. But now we see those in the elite or the dominant group are getting ready to make money off the same thing that Day-Day was doing on the corner.
Right.
So that's problematic.
It is.
And you're right on, Dr. Hold up. The thing that happened here, many of the young men arrested on 23rd and Union here, which is one of the major streets and corners that, you know, where they sold marijuana, you know, illegally. And many of our young black men were arrested, most of them, right there on that corner and sent to prison for years and years. The good thing about it is that they, changed the laws and made them retroactive. So many of those people, young men, are being released now. Because the law has changed, but it still doesn't make a difference, because that same corner, there's a cannabis shop that where you have lines around the corner. Most of them are Caucasians in there buying illegal cannabis. So, you know, it's a cycle.
Yes.
And
yes.
The rich get richer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we, on that note, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and finish our discussion about some another law that's going to be put on possibly put on the bill to vote on. So we're going to take another music break. We're coming up on our Entrepreneur Corner. If you are a small business owner or you have some events that are coming up, you can call in at 296-2251 to share with our listeners what you have going on, and we'll be back.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
The ultimate gospel experience.
Jesus!
Cross, we lift your name on high. Your name on high, be lifted high.
Come on, say.
Jesus, we lift your name on high. Your name on high, be lifted high.
Say.
Jesus, we lift your name on high.
Woo.
Your name on high,
hey.
Be lifted high.
Lift it up.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm Jarmin Leitner, along with Dr. Danford and Larry Williams, and joining us as a guest, Dr. Hodo in the studio this morning. We're going to start this segment off with our caller on the line. This is our Entrepreneur Corner, and again, you can call in at 296-2251 to share with the listeners your business, any services, products, or events that you may have. And we have Shalay on the line. Good morning, Shalay.
Good morning. Good morning, panel in Jacksonville and everybody out there. Happy Saturday.
Yes, happy Saturday. So tell us, do you have your own business?
Well, I do. That wasn't why I was calling, but I'm okay. A media specialist and consultant, so that's what I do. But the reason I was calling was due to your topic.
Okay.
And I just wanted to interject one aspect of what's going on, and you guys are talking about it on air and off, but about the profitability portion of it and being locked out. And I wanted to say that in most states where the cannabis issue is on the ballot, et cetera, pharmaceutical companies are pushing against the market.
Okay.
And it is because studies have shown that people who use the cannabis or the oil from it have a greater, less addiction as to the opioid crisis.
Okay.
So they push back on it, and they know that most people would turn away from those dangerous pharmaceuticals that we are seeing are devastating the nation. So... And there was a really good segment on 60 Minutes about the gentleman who is a pharmaceutical manufacturer. It was on last Sunday. And he's coming out and he's suing the pharmaceutical industry about the opioids. So, you know, some people agree with, you know, cannabis. Some people don't. But I don't think that we should, you know, go against those who are finding relief from it. You know, we have a lot more going on with the opioids and a lot of people are alcoholics. So I just wanted to say that, and you guys are doing a great job.
All right. Well,
and thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Shalay, for calling in and sharing. You have a wonderful
thank
day.
You.
All right.
You as well. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, just as the caller pointed out, is that...
and we were talking about legalizing the recreational marijuana. That's what she was commenting about.
Right.
Go ahead, Larry.
Right. And it just takes us all the way back to Prohibition when, you know, they legalized alcohol. Went through the same process when the governments found out that they can make money off of alcohol, they legalized.
Okay, so basically what the caller was saying is pharmaceutical companies are giving pushback for the legalization of it because that's going to cut their profit if people are no longer purchasing opioids.
Well, you're going to have that as you have with the cigarette manufacturers. They are now,
it's all about the money. Huh?
They're now investing in vape. Mm-hmm. Okay, right. So you
and
know
what?
Vape, is that what you said? Vape,
vape, oh, yeah. V-A-P, V-A-P.
Now, what is vape?
Vape.
For
what is
that? That don't
that's
know
that the some mechanism that they're smoking on, and it still
liquid?
Has tobacco, and yeah, some of them are
oil.
Flavored.
It's
yeah,
an oil.
It's an oil.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's an oil-based
oil
tobacco.
Okay.
So
okay.
you're seeing youth involvement in smoking is going down. But they're smoking vape,
and they don't. And we don't know the damage yet that vape is going to do. I mean, it hasn't been around long enough for them to do any longitudinal studies.
So what about vape? Can you put the marijuana oil in the vape?
Some of the pens, some of them have it like that. Other ones, they can put nicotine or flavored nicotine or. Different, you
now,
know.
Now, what about the hookah? Hookah, what is that?
That is tobacco, and that's flavored tobacco.
Oh, that's flavored. Mm-hmm. Because I know
that's a big thing too.
That's a big thing.
All right. Well, we do have a couple more callers that are waiting on the line. Our next caller is McGinnis.
Hello.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Michelle McGinnis, and I'm the owner and pastry chef at the Sweet Spot in Urban Lounge.
Okay.
We are a dessert caterer with a mobile DJ. We bring the sweet treats and sweet music to your event.
Oh, wow. Sweet Spot in Urban Lounge.
You have red velvet? You have red velvet muffins?
Sweet.
I can make you some red velvet muffins.
Oh,
velvet,
wow.
Not a flavor.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so McGinnis, where are you located? And tell us your telephone number so that the
Absolutely.
Listeners can contact you.
Currently, we do different festivals around town. But I am currently on my way to the Home and Patio Show, where we will be upstairs at the cooking stage. I was the first chef on the cooking stage Thursday. Mm-hmm. And I am selling jams and jellies, which you'll be able to find soon in some boutique shops. And our website is www.sweetspoturbanlounge.com. Mm-hmm. And our phone number is 904-206-8762.
Okay, now what else do you make?
Where is she going to be today?
At the home
and patio show?
Prime Osborne Convention Center.
Prime Osborne Center. Okay, now what else do you make at the sweet spot besides jams and jellies?
She makes those gummy bears.
Don't let Dr. Jeffrey do that to you. Don't let him do that to you. Do you make gummy bears?
I can make gummy bears, and we are working on a product that has the CBD oil, but that's to your last topic. But we do wedding cakes. We do candy, we can do muffins, we can do pastries, we can cater if you're having a corporate event, we do cookies, we do logo cookies.
Oh, okay.
Importantly, when we get open and started, we're going to employ people that have cognitive and developmental disabilities.
Well, wonderful. We have a heart for the disabled, so that's wonderful that you're doing that. All right, thank you so much for calling in.
All right, thank you. Have a good morning.
How yeah, speaking about disabled, you see Walmart retreated. You know, they tried to get rid of all of the greeters.
They sure did.
Who were disabled.
Disabled, right.
Right. So they had to quickly turn that around.
Just need a little more training.
That's blatant discrimination when you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember once when I saw a guy working, he had Down syndrome. He was working at a restaurant in Alabama, and he was a greeter. It just touched my heart because he was doing such a great job, and they can be trained to have skills to be productive and have jobs, you know, in the society. So we do have another call online. Michael, good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How you guys doing this morning?
We're doing well.
You third this morning, Michael.
Michael, are you still located in the landing, Michael?
We're still located in the landing. As I predicted, some of the council members was questioning the decision. So It's going to run its course.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
He only needs 10, and he has them.
So,
oh,
my
well, so, me and wife, we have a shop in yes. Jacksonville Landing, a boutique, and we also put on events. Our next event is coming up March the 16th. Where you guys are located, it'll be downstairs in the Salem Center. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the Taste of Soul. We're featuring top soul food restaurants and caterers around the Jacksonville area. Ticket costs are just $35. Mm-hmm. We still have a few spots for vendor table. They can reach me on my personal cell, 904-625-7937. 904-625-7937. And we also... in a couple of weeks, Channel 4 is going to feature one of our chefs that's going to participate in the event on March 16th, Saturday.
All right. Well, maybe the lady who just called in, the Sweet Spot, she can contact you and get set up out there.
Yeah, that's it. I write information down and continue to do what you guys do here on the First Coast as well.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael. Have a great day.
Thank you.
So
same to you.
All right, so we're not running out of time, are we?
We are running out of time.
Yes,
we are.
Okay.
And I believe that we're going to have another caller that's coming up.
Yeah, let's get the caller on.
Okay, so again, 296-2251. We only have a couple more minutes to get our callers on the air. Okay, we do have a caller? No. Okay, Steve said no. Okay, so we can move on back to some of the things we were talking about before we wrap it up here. About the laws that are going to be passed and
gentlemen, mm-hmm. excuse me, a couple of minutes.
Yeah,
I want to make sure that we have
okay.
First Thursday on is coming up on March 7th. We're going to have a really exciting program. We're going to be saluting what is it, gentlemen?
Black Press Month. This month, yes,
right.
Black Press Month, and that's March the 7th, first Thursday at the Jacksonville Urban League at 5:30. We have our meeting once a month, every first Thursday, so we invite the community to come out. All right, we do have a caller. Okay, good morning, caller.
Good morning. My name is Dr. Naita Guillen, and okay. I am an educator, I'm an author, and I'm headed to an event for CROP, which is College Reach Out Program for middle and high school young people.
Okay.
And we're doing a book read. We're reading my book.
Okay.
And the name of my book is A Way Out, 10 Characteristics of Highly Successful Teens. And in the book, I define the difference between high-achieving teens and highly successful teens. And high-achieving teens are those who put everything into one gift or one talent. Why, you know, you'll have your superstar athlete who can do incredible things on the field or on the court, but can't write his name on a sheet of paper. And then you have your highly successful teens, and those are the teens who are able to balance. They're able to balance education, balance their artistic and athletic pursuits, help around mm-hmm. the family, engage in the community. So I share with young people these strategies so that they, too, can be highly successful and achieve all of their dreams and be and live out the full potential that God has created them to be.
Wow.
All right.
Great.
That's awesome.
Great.
We need some more positive outlets for our teens, adolescents. All right. Well, we thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You, too.
Yeah,
all right. Well, we want to thank our listeners. Yes, we have to thank our listeners because we have to get it. Steve is really cueing me to get off the air. So we want to thank our listeners this morning and everyone who called in to chime in with us on our
and we want to thank 107.9.
yes.
Come
we
on,
want
Larry.
To thank Praise 107.9 and all of our listeners who listen to us 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. Every Saturday we'll be here.
Thank you, Dr. Hodo, for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, Dr. Hodo, we always appreciate